Chaz and AJ Week in Review. A behind-the-scenes look back at everything that happened this week. Good and bad. The Chaz and AJ Week in Review. Download every Friday and tune in again to the live show Monday morning starting at 5:30 a.m.
Is this our first time having Bill Burr on? No. We've had him on before?
Hello?
Bill Burr.
What's going on?
It's Chaz and AJ. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You sound great.
Oh, God damn it, I am great.
Well, you better be great.
Yeah, you should write for Hallmark.
You're living the dream, brother.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I have been for 20-something years.
Bill Burr coming to Fox Theater, Foxwoods, tomorrow and Sunday. Two shows were linked up at ChazAndAJInTheMorning.com.
Beautiful. Thank you.
So, first of all, our producer, Phil, is the biggest Bill Burr fan on the planet. In fact, who do we have in that Phil did his Bill Burr for, and then he asked Phil to join him on his podcast?
It was Joe Matarese, actually. All right. We were just talking after the show. He was just leaving.
Yeah, I worked with Joe down in Philly.
Yeah. So we were actually talking about exactly that, Philadelphia, because I brought up that, like, your whole Philadelphia rant on stage, like, in front of the hostile crowd. And he was like, oh, that was not the best. And I just started sort of like imitating you. And he's like, I want you to come on my podcast. You could be Phil Burr. Actually, I think Pam came up with the name.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Phil Burr.
But it didn't really ever work. I never actually went onto the podcast.
Well, you got to do it for him now. You got to do Bill Burr for Bill Burr.
Yeah, come on.
Well, really do.
Show business.
Don't you want to hear?
No, that's what happens in show business. Hey, kid, I'm going to make you a star.
Come on. Phil Burr.
Right.
There you go.
So, Bill, do you want to hear Phil doing Bill Burr?
No.
Thank you.
I wouldn't either.
That saves me a lot of embarrassment.
Good, because he does it every day. No.
Yeah, why would I want to hear? Why would I want to do that?
Well, you can feel good about yourself.
The guy said he was going to put him on his podcast, and then he didn't.
Right.
You know?
Right.
True.
Why would I want to do that?
We know Bill
Burr's
good.
The guy who didn't get the part act.
Right, so you don't want to see a little behind the curtains on...
Yeah, I don't want to see Tom Brady play quarterback. I want to see his backup come in. That's what I want to see.
That was a very casual reference to yourself as Tom Brady there. I like that.
Right.
You're damn right it was.
Yeah.
You're damn right it was. Just because I don't have a dimpled chin or a full head of hair doesn't stop me from the comparison either.
Exactly. There are no bounds.
So this new animated series, F is for Family, on Netflix.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I got in business with some great people, Vince Vaughn's company, Wild West, and the great Mike Price from The Simpsons. You know, yeah. I had a little bit of an idea. They helped me flesh it out, and 4.5 years later, we finally got it on TV.
So your dad, how close to... now, you voiced the dad. How close is that dad to your dad?
There's elements of everybody's dad on it, which is how I wanted to do it. I didn't want to do it, put all my family's dirty laundry out there so they couldn't sit down and watch it and they'd be mortified. I would never do that to them. So they, you know, they'll watch it and they'll see, you know, they'll see certain elements. Like, I'll put you through that effing wall. My dad used to say that.
Right.
He said that. But, you know, he didn't work at an airport, you know, and all that other type of stuff. So, I mean... there's elements of Mike Price's dad, Vince's dad, everybody's, you know, which is good because then everybody can sit down and watch it. You're not embarrassed.
Right. Right. Oh, I know the guy. Yeah.
And your dad can go out without hearing, wow, that was really fucked up what you did last night.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait a minute. That was a cartoon.
Yeah. Your son's totally dissing you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, take the part where the little character of me was up in the tree and the kids were throwing firecrackers and all that. That actually happened, but it wasn't fireworks. It was a friend of mine, me and a friend of mine. We were just little kids. We climbed a tree, and big kids came by, and they just started throwing rocks at us until they were tired of throwing rocks. And we were just up there crying.
The joy of childhood.
In the back and all that. And so, but, you know, for the show, we ramp it up with fireworks and BB guns. I remember getting BB guns and you'd shoot it at, you know, trees and then tin cans. And then inevitably, you know, you put on swimming goggles and you started shooting at each other. And
war breaks
out.
So
you just sort of ramp it up a little bit.
Right. Yeah, it was a different time then. You could shoot your friends with BB guns and, you know, you wouldn't get in too much trouble.
It's called fun.
Yeah, I remember we tied this kid to a tree and we were throwing fireworks at him. And my brother, you know those remember the firecrackers? They had the ones that had the really quick wick.
Yep.
Like really right as you lit it, you had to be throwing it.
Yep.
Well, yeah, we were throwing those at him. My brother, he wasn't thinking. He lit it. He threw his arm back to throw it, and it blew up in his hand. Just all stupid things like that, you know. And there were no parents around, of course, because, you know, they had lives back then.
Right. So it sounds like you were once the victim in the tree having rocks thrown at you, and then you became the other side
of that. You graduated.
You graduated and started
trying. He became the master.
Right.
Now, the student becomes the master. Exactly. When you got bullied, you know, that's what you learn. Like, that's what you do is you pick on people that are weaker than you.
Right. That's right.
And sometimes it was all about, well, I'm going to keep picking on this kid too so it doesn't come back around to me.
Right. So you study technique from the other kids.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It was all, you know, whatever. Nobody got killed.
Exactly.
I like one scene in F is for Family. You guys are all out in the lawn, and your father goes, or you say, I'll put you through the fucking wall. And your brother says, we're outside. And he goes, yeah, well, I'll build a fucking wall and put you through it.
That's a dad thing to say.
Yes. Now, that actually happened, but I didn't say the wise-ass remark. My dad said that to me and my brother when we were standing outside the house, and we sort of snickered because it was, he like, you know, it was just like his catchphrase, I'll put you through that effing wall, and he sort of pointed at the woods.
Right.
You know, because he always pointed at the wall.
Right.
Because he usually yelled it in the house, and then he was outside. We just sort of laughed, and he realized what he said was silly, and he kind of laughed too, and it kind of ended it. But, you know, so yeah, there is elements of truth.
Gotcha.
We're chatting with Bill Burr. He's at Foxwoods this weekend. We're linked up at ChazAndAJInTheMorning.com. This guy sells out like everywhere he goes.
Yes.
Sold out like a million shows in Boston. And so it's going to sell out. So go buy your tickets.
Yeah, hurry up.
Great stuff. And you were in Breaking Bad.
Yes, I was.
Like,
I did a couple of episodes of that, which I couldn't believe because I was, like everybody else, I was a huge fan of the show.
Yeah, it became like a Star Wars thing. Like everybody wanted to be in it somehow, and you got in it. Did you know somebody? Was there a fan of yours who was involved in casting?
No, I just was one of the lucky people that, for some reason, the second I saw the billboard, I had just finished watching The Wire, and I needed a new show, and the billboard looked interesting. So I watched the first night. You know, me and my wife sat down, and we watched it, and we loved it, and I immediately started bugging my agent, going, I'll do anything on the show. I'll be, you know, pour coffee, you know, play a waiter. I don't even care if I don't have a line. I got to get on this show. I love this show. Actually, it was probably 3-4 episodes in, to be honest. And so I think I was part of that first wave of people asking to be on the show. So, you know, in season 4, I got to do that episode where I was helping to con the guy out of his car wash. And I would have been happy just doing that. I couldn't believe that I was there. And then they just kept bringing me back.
So
it's unbelievable. You guys watching Better Call Saul?
I started watching it, and then, you know, our time is limited at night during the week.
Yeah.
And I've been busy on the weekend, so I caught the first couple.
You got to watch it, dude. Like, just watching how this guy became that guy is, it's unbelievable. And his brother, I'm not, no spoiler alert here. I won't say what it is. His brother said one of the most heartbreaking things to him towards the end of the first season. I was just like, oh, my God. It was just, it was brutal, but it was not only brutal, but then you're also kind of like, well, the guy's kind of right, even though what he said is really mean. But it just kind of reminded me of, you know, just, I don't know, real life when it's just, you know, your family members can just say the most brutally honest stuff to you. It's, you know, it's the worst part is when it actually is true and you know they're right.
And you know it's true.
Yeah, I guess it's why.
Yeah. It's a little dose of reality.
Yep.
So that scene where you're in the storage crate with all the money and you guys lay down on the money, that's like my son and I were watching that, and when you guys started laying down on the money, we were like, shit, we would be doing that as well. Was that real money?
Yeah, that was such a fun scene to do. And Lavelle is hilarious, and that was, you know, definitely a high point in my career to get to be able to do something like that. I just remember the crew laughing after every They would be laughing when we were laying down, because what they wanted, what they were kind of subtly doing was when we were laying there, it was supposed to be almost like pillow talk, like we were a couple. We were these two tough guys laying on money and talking about your hopes and dreams. There was always a bunch of different layers to the stuff that they wrote on that show. It's why it was so great, why I'm loving watching Better Call Saul.
And was any of that money real?
No, no, it was all fake.
All right. I just thought sometimes
it was all fake, but I will tell you this. They actually did research when they figured out how much money Mr. White would have.
Yeah.
You know, and what the nominations, how high the pile would be. They love researching stuff like that so they could shut down all those, you know,
the
it
internet.
Wouldn't happen like that. Mm-hmm. All
right.
Those people on, like, the internet. Do you know, like that train robbery scene where they were taking out the meth chemical and replacing it with water?
Right.
They figured out what temperature it was, how much the liquid would expand. They figured it out how long it would take. So if somebody, there's always some jerk on the internet going like, I rob trains for a living and how that would actually go down. They love shutting them down and going, no, we actually researched this, and they would just send them reams of facts.
Nice.
And just shut them down.
Nice. Yeah, shut those nerds up.
Not even like in a malicious way. They just thought it was a funny thing to do.
Yeah.
I can't say enough about Vince Gilligan and all the people that he works with. They're just the level with which that they're operating on
That's
is
beautiful.
Incredible. And then they were also really, really nice guys. So
bonus.
Will you be in Better Call Saul? Will they work that character in?
Will they work what?
Your character on Breaking Bad, will they work that into Better Call Saul? Because you were one of
them. It's not like they tell me the direction it's going in. I have no idea. All I know is that the longer it goes, the closer he gets to meeting Mr. White. So maybe, I have no idea the backstory of my character as far as when he started working for him. In fact, I remember after I had done my last episode of Breaking Bad, I knew it was the last episode. And, you know, my last scene was I was sitting in a car with Odenkirk and Bryan Cranston, you know, Saul Goodman and Mr. White. I couldn't believe it, dude. It was the sickest. I'm sitting there. It's like being in a scene with, like, Darth Vader and Yoda.
Right.
That's true.
I knew that, like, it was, you know, I knew when my last episode was. So I was continuing watching the show, and then Dean Norris's character started talking about me after I'd done my final episode, going, your Carrot Top friend from Boston, what's his name? Kubi, Patrick Kubi. And that's when I found out what my first name is, my character. And I literally was watching the show by myself. I stood up from the couch going, he's talking about Kubi. I was freaking out.
That's me!
That's my guy. And I always wondered, you know, when we did the train robbery scene, I showed up ready to do like an accent because they gave me that Western shirt. And they were like, no, just talk how you talk. And I didn't get it at first. And it wasn't until I watched the episode, I go, oh, yeah, that's the whole other level of the comedy. To have me in this stupid Wild West, like, stagecoach shirt.
Right.
But I'm talking like I'm from Somerville.
Exactly.
How ridiculous that is.
Right.
How funny it is. Like, I couldn't see it because, you know, I can't look outside of me back at me. But for fans of the show, I actually have, I was able to get that shirt. I have
gonna
it somewhere
ask
in my closet downstairs, yeah.
Oh, that's got to be in the Bill Burr Museum someday.
Oh, yeah, I have one. I keep them like retired jerseys. Like I have, from every stand-up special that I've done, I've had the shirt that I wore. I actually have the shirt from the first time I ever did stand-up. My girlfriend at the time bought it for me. And not only does it not even remotely fit anymore, it's so out of style. Like I started in 92, so like Z Tavaricci's were still acceptable to wear.
Oh, you
no.
You should squeeze into that for your first show at Foxwoods.
Why not?
This is during the time, you remember the Ford Escort GT?
Of course.
The Grand Touring edition of that one, like it's some sort of Italian sports car.
I right.
The hatchback.
Garbage transportation, yeah.
That would be like the Prius GT.
I started stand-up during that era.
It's a tough, turbulent time, man.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Hey, Bill, thanks for coming on the show, brother. Really appreciate it,
man. Yeah,
man.
No, thank you guys for helping me promote my Sunday night show. I appreciate it.
Well, we're all big fans here. Not as big as Phil.
Right.
But we're super fans.
Oh, yeah.
And we're linked up at ChazandAJInTheMorning.com. This will sell out, so buy your tickets now. Bill Burr at Foxwoods Theater this weekend. Thanks, brother.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Chaz and AJ Week in Review. Download every Friday and tune in again to the live show Monday morning starting at 5:30 a.m.